Well, Christianity is the world's greatest religion. You have church buildings everywhere, cathedrals even, many organizations, Church of England, whatever it may be. Governments were formed around what the Bible says a long time ago, in this country especially. It's really a faith that's changed everything in our culture. It's even formed our language to some extent. The Bible is the most read book in the world. There are literally billions of Christians, if you believe the statistics. It's an amazing faith, and we can see it as that, can't we now? But that was not the case for the Jews to whom this letter was written. Christianity was a new religion. There weren't that many followers. It was growing, of course, but they were a minority. They were often persecuted. And in fact, if you were Jewish and you'd come from that tradition of having a temple, this wonderful place, you'd had priests who dressed beautifully, you had all sorts of people serving, an entire nation based on their faith, Christianity didn't look very impressive. And in fact, the readers of Hebrews are persuaded during Hebrews to forget what you can see on earth and to see Jesus. They're encouraged to see the wonder of this faith, the wonder of their Saviour. Yes, they lost out on an earthly temple, priests, sacrifices, all of these things. All they have is communion, and the embarrassing fact of baptism had to be dunked under water. That's all that was there. No more ceremony, no more pomp. Something very simple. And we know the Christian faith is very simple, isn't it? It's to focus on Jesus, to trust in him. But we are in danger of filling it up with grandeur, of wanting more than that ourselves. But the Jewish readers of this were really in danger of going back to the old ways, of wanting much more than Christianity seemed to have to offer when compared to the faith they'd left. And actually, in chapters 1 and 2, the author of Hebrews has been building up the view of Jesus, saying he's greater than angels. He is the exact representation of God. He communicates God perfectly to you. In fact, he has God's authority. And then I think verse 1 of chapter 3 here is actually summarizing those first two chapters. It's this kind of summary of what he said, his arguments. It says, "Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess." So he's been arguing for them to shift away from looking at angels, to thinking about those things, to look at Jesus, this superior man, our wonderful Savior, the Son of God, the author of their salvation, the one who did everything to save them. So he sums it up by saying, the apostle and high priest of our faith. Why is Jesus an apostle? Apparently the only place in the Bible where he's called this. Well, of course, Jesus communicates God perfectly by being God himself made man. And he brought God's word. He spoke the word of God, the exact representation of God himself. But also last week, John brought us the previous passage about him being our high priest, who is able to sympathize with us because he himself suffered when he was tempted. So we have this great Savior, and the Jews then needed to focus on him, not the ceremony, no building to look at Jesus, to fix their thoughts on him. And as Christians, we share that heavenly calling, don't we? We have been called by Jesus to look to him, to be saved by him, a calling to trust in him and belong to him. So the author of Hebrews has gone to great effort to get them to shift their focus to Jesus, to magnify him. Why then, in the following verses, does he bring us down to Moses, to a mere man? Well, we don't have an obsession with Moses, do we? I don't think we don't have an obsession with him as a great patriarch. We know of him. God used him greatly, of course. Well, the Jewish readers would have had a very big view of Moses. They would have been fairly obsessed with him. In fact, some cults within Jewish religion at the time would have even seen the Messiah to come as being Moses returns. They had that kind of view of Moses. Probably the number one person in Jewish history for many of them. He was the leader when the Jews became a nation, really, when they were saved from Egypt. He was important to them. And so it's a big example for the author to use. And what's he pulling out from Moses as something for us to look at? Well, Moses was faithful. Verse 2, he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Hebrews has some big themes, but one of them is definitely, if not the biggest, to have faith. It's a letter appealing to have faith in Christ, to see him as your all in all. And Moses was faithful. So the author wants us to think about Moses as someone who was faithful, who did God's will, who led the people, communicated what God wanted him to communicate, led them in the ways God wanted them to be led. So it's all about faith. And Jesus, likewise, was faithful. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful. Jesus was faithful as a man on earth in God's salvation plan. He did everything commanded of him. He communicated what God wanted him to communicate. He served God, and in fact served us, didn't he? The servant king. And he died for us. He did everything right to save us perfectly. So, should the Jewish readers see Moses as an inspiration and Jesus? Well, no, that's not the point here, is it? Jesus was faithful as a man, but he's so much more. Moses is this great historical figure. Jesus served like he did faithfully, but Jesus is so much more than Moses. Moses only served in God's house. He's not the son and builder of the house. No, Jesus is the son and the builder of this house. Jesus is so much greater. And in fact, we see later on in chapter 11, if you turn to verses 24 to 26 of chapter 11, Moses himself was focused on Jesus. 24 to 26 of chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses' eyes were fixed on Jesus, is the point here. The writer, the author of Hebrews, is appealing to his readers, to us, to the Jews at the time, to fix our thoughts only on Jesus. He was faithful like Moses. We should be faithful like Jesus. He's our example of faithfulness. But he's so much more. He's the one we should have faith to. We should have faith in Christ. We're to be faithful to him. Now, I have an example of getting your praise wrong. Remind you of a children's talk a few weeks ago. It's not a Lego model this time. This is my latest product. It's a little rubber thing that you stick on walls to help you drill with, basically. Really simple. It's a little bit ingenious, but not much. But anyway, in one of the first meetings about this product, it was just produced, and the guy I designed it for was going on about how good it was, as if it's the product that should be praised. Oh, it's really clever, it does this. Telling someone else without reference to me having designed that feature in it. You can imagine how frustrating that is. It's just a bit of rubber. It's my intelligence that has made it a clever piece of rubber. Not very clever. But it does its job. Well, that's the point here. Yes, Moses was a great leader, but he was made by God. And that's Jesus. Jesus, yes, was faithful as Moses was faithful, but Jesus is responsible for Moses, and Jesus is outside of God's house. He's the creator of it. He's the Son of God. He is so much more. Moses shouldn't be in your view at all. It's all Jesus. Fix your thoughts on him. So, Jesus is faithful over God's house, the builder of it. He's the author of our salvation, and he's the one who enacted our salvation by becoming a man and dying in our place. It's all about Jesus. It's not about great buildings. It's not about tradition. It's not about the patriarchs. It's not about the church fathers. It's about Jesus. The appeal is not to go back to those old ways. Not to lose focus from your Savior. Stick with Jesus. Focus on him. You have a great heavenly calling because of him. Well, what about us? We're not Jews. I don't think any of us are. And we need to think about what stops us fixing our thoughts on Jesus. What gets in the way? The Jews were in danger of going back to their traditional ways to try and sort of build up their religion themselves. But what gets in our way? Well, the culture we live in is a culture that has no shame in saying, if it feels good, do it. Live the life you want. Be the person you want to be. It's about you, what you want, your desires. That's what's important. And if you think that's not in the church, you're wrong. Very much so. We're affected by our culture. We can have a tendency to think the same way. We start thinking things like, well, I don't really like serving in terms of speaking or telling people the gospel. I'm more of a cleaning up type guy. You know, I feel comfortable doing that. Or, I'll do praying as long as it's privately but not publicly. We think about what we're comfortable with rather than about where the need is and where we can serve. We focus on ourselves. We have faith, yes, and this is myself included absolutely here, but it's as if we're waiting for God to do something in us, to really energize us to be the Christian we think we maybe could be if we had the faith. Now, Graham was appealing to that a few weeks ago, I think, in his sermon. It feels like people are sitting back a little bit, some of us, that we're not really going for it for God, doing everything we can. And I have an illustration here that might not work. Did anybody watch Kung Fu Panda yesterday, which was on BBC?
No.
No, you missed a great film. Okay, Kung Fu Panda is an animation about a panda who loves Kung Fu, but he is very big and greedy, lazy and overweight. And I don't know why I chose him as someone I can empathize with. But anyway, he's rubbish at Kung Fu, he doesn't do any training, but he's told he's the chosen one. And he doesn't really have to do much training, just a few days, and he's suddenly the best kung fu martial artist in the world and defeats a really powerful enemy who's been training all his life. And just to remind you, these are my sleeping goggles, so there we go. But he doesn't have to do anything, just sits back, and he's the greatest kung fu artist in the world. And that's how sometimes I think we feel about our faith and about being Christians. We're sort of waiting for God to make us really holy or to give us a real desire for evangelism. Well, it's not like that. The Christian faith isn't like that. The author of Hebrews is appealing here for you to be faithful by fixing your thoughts on Jesus. It takes effort. We're not just to sit back. And it's not just that we once said we're Christians, committed to Christ, and then that's it. No, it's daily fixing our thoughts on Jesus. To be sure of your faith. It's as if the author is saying in our passage, you want to be sure that you're a Christian? You want to have genuine faith and a life pleasing to God? Well, focus on Jesus. That's the way. Focus on him. That's what you're to do. We're going to think through what that means now in our lives. What are the implications of this? How can we be challenged on this? Well, first of all, we should have nobody in the way of our view of Jesus, just as the Jews at the time were in danger of putting things, traditions in the way, and famous people from Israelites' past. We should have no one in our way. Maybe you have some great church leaders who really encourage you. You love their preaching or their books, something like that. And we were challenged on this recently, weren't we, that someone who leads you to faith is often very important to your faith. And Andrew King, falling away recently, has been a real challenge to many of us. And you can see that as something from God in many ways, to challenge us about what is the foundation of our faith. Is it a great Christian preacher? Is it a great sermon? Is it a great book we love? Or is it Jesus? Is your view only on him? Well, it needs to be. Secondly, we should have no things in the way of our view of Jesus. What really motivates you? Is it money? Is it your job? Is it even your family? If it isn't Jesus, it's not right. If your life doesn't flow from him, your motivation, then you haven't fixed your thoughts on him. He should define everything, every sphere of our lives. What about leaders here in the church? Anybody who's in leadership? We need to be men who are fixed on Jesus, our thoughts fixed on him. He should be our all in all. You want people to come to meetings or understand theology that they don't because it's the right thing? It's what we should do as a church? Or are you joyfully serving Christ in love with your Savior? And does that spill out in your attitude to other people as you want them to love him too? And you want to please him by leading them in righteous ways? Chapter 13, verses 7 to 8 is useful for us to think about in terms of leadership. 13, verse 7 to 8 says, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Imitate their faith." There's a real responsibility in leaders for you to show people what it means to have your thoughts fixed on Jesus, to really show them you're in love with him, that he's your motivation in all areas of life. So how does our reaction to attack or difficulty or bad things, how does that highlight our need to fix our thoughts on Jesus? Well, is your reaction to bad news, spiritual attack, is it fear? Do you fear being unhealthy? Do you fear losing your job? Do you fear someone really getting the better of you in a theological argument? Or an atheist sort of defeating your defenses as a Christian? But if your view is on Jesus, if you really do see him as the Savior who has sorted everything out, who is beyond everything, the creator of all things, the sustainer of them, the author of your faith, the one who did everything for your salvation, then you need not fear anything. Fear shouldn't be your reaction. If your thoughts really are fixed on Jesus, you have no need to fear. You know, everything is sorted. You have a wonderful Savior. What about our reaction to our own sin? If our thoughts aren't fixed on Christ, on Jesus, then we can feel just a failure over our sin. We feel we've blown it, we're frustrated with ourselves, feel depressed. Well, that shouldn't be the case. If your thoughts are fixed on Jesus, if you're focused on him, then you'll turn to him, confess your sins, and ask for forgiveness. And you know you receive forgiveness. Our reaction to sin can show us whether we are focused on him. And that, of course, ends in praise for him, knowing that you're forgiven. So, just a few things to get us to think about whether our lives are focused on Jesus. But what does it feel like, or what can we do to be more focused on him? Well, first of all, it's spending time in the Bible, in prayer, in speaking with others, and in praise. If you want to love someone more, you get to know them better, don't you? If you want to see the majesty of Christ, if you want to get to know him better, if you want a bigger view, if you want to fall in love with him more, read about him in God's Word. Get to know him better. It applies to all of us. Do you give time to prayer with Jesus? Now, I was reading one of the commentaries on this, and it was saying it's not just, you know, praying quickly, going through the points you're worried about, asking him for help. No, it's properly meditating on your life, thinking through what you've done, thinking through Jesus' life, what he has done, what he has commanded, and opening up yourself to his authority by his Spirit. Now, many of us would say we haven't got time to spend a lot of time in the Bible or in prayer, and maybe that's because of work or family. Do you think the writer of Hebrews would say, "Well, that's, I understand, those things are important too"? He would say, nothing is as important as Jesus, not even Moses. Shift your thoughts away from those things onto Christ. If you're not giving that time, get rid of something else. Maybe you're in the wrong job. It's more important to fix your thoughts in Jesus. Nothing else compares. What about speaking with others, helping each other to magnify Christ and to understand him better so we may love him more? The best way to do that in church is probably in house group. It's much more intimate. You get to know each other. You get to see how Jesus changes each other's lives. You get to see Jesus through each other. And I know that some of you don't attend house group. And I'd just like to encourage you that you should. It's such an opportunity to fix your thoughts on Jesus. to magnify him. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, it says later on in Hebrews. So, spending time in the Bible, in prayer and with others. But also, if you a life focused on Christ means that you love him, truly love him as your friend, as your Saviour. You are in relationship with him, always aware that he is with you, that Jesus Christ is there. So you see something wonderful, you turn to him in praise immediately, knowing his presence, he's with you, present with you. If you've done the marriage course, you'll know that one of the things they talk about is a date night, which is making sure you spend time together as a couple in the busyness of life. Well, you have a greater relationship than your marriage, your relationship with Jesus. And it takes us back, doesn't it, to the Bible and to prayer. Are you making time for that relationship? Intimate time where you can get to know him better and praise him. And that strikes me right in the heart too. I need to as well. Is your view of Christ increasing as you grow as a Christian? In fact, that's the definition of Christian maturity. That you have a greater and a greater appreciation for your Saviour. That you love him more and you want to serve him more. It's not whether you can understand more theology. It's whether you love and admire Christ more and fixing your thoughts on him more daily. Well, how else do we have a life focus on Christ? Well, if you turn to chapter 13, sorry to keep flipping within Hebrews. I know some people don't like that. But Hebrews has this great theme of focusing on Jesus and faith in him. And then there's lots of application, which is very helpful. Chapter 13, 15 to 16. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. A life focused on Christ and what pleases him is a life that does things, serves others, praises Jesus, praises God. It shouldn't be that we read the Bible because we know it's the right thing to do. No, it should be that we want to find out about our King, our Saviour. We know that he's told us it's our eternal food, the only thing that will grow us in a spiritual way that has eternal worth. We should want to devour the Bible as we know we can see more of Christ and magnify him and build our image of him. So what does it mean to have a fixation of Jesus, to be fixed on him, to have this view? Well, it means you love him, who he is and what he's done. It means you follow his example as you see more of how he lived and who he is and what pleases him. But it also means you have an eternal joy in your secure relationship. Verse 6, but Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. How can we be sure of our salvation? How do we know that we are Christians? It's by focusing on Jesus, fixing our thoughts on him, being sure that he is our all in all. Everything we need and everything we should desire is Christ. If our thoughts are fixed on him, we have courage and we have hope. He is our Saviour and our High Priest, our example. But do note here that it's active, isn't it? You don't just sit back as a Christian once you're saved and let God carry you along on some sort of spiritual current. No, you're to hold on to this faith. You're meant to make every effort to fix your thoughts on Jesus through his word, through each other, through prayer. Jesus is awesome. He is everything to us. The author of Hebrews wants us to see that. Let's pray to him.